Fairfax News 97.1 FM.
This is Countdown 2024.
Here are Charles Feldman and Margaret Carrero.
Well, 61 days to January 20th, which also happens to be National Butter Crunch Day.
Oh, Butter Crunch and penguins.
That's right. It's also Penguin Awareness Day, as we mentioned yesterday. It also happens to be Inauguration Day, by the way, when Donald Trump will be sworn back in as the nation's 47th president. On today's Countdown 2024, President-elect Trump couldn't be more clear in his priorities when it comes to the nation's environment and energy policy. Trump believes climate change is a hoax, and he wants to, and I'm quoting now, drill, baby, drill, even though the U.S. is already the chief global producer of oil and natural gas. So, we will drill down on both of these. See what I did there?
I see what you did. Yeah. It was good.
On both of these issues today, hearing from the Sierra Club and an oil and gas trader who has been helping the Trump transition team. But first this.
Attorney General nominee Matt Gaetz met with several Republican senators in the Capitol today with Vice President-elect J.D. Vance by his side as they all await the possible release of a House Ethics Committee report on allegations that Gaetz had slept with underage girls. The message from senators after meeting with Gaetz is that they would like to get him in front of a confirmation hearing as soon as possible to answer questions under oath. Former Florida congressman has steadfastly rebutted all misconduct charges against him and continues to point out that he was never criminally charged for sexual improprieties. On that House ethics report, the Republican majority today once again refused to release it. They are planning to reconsider its release on December 5th.
Kentucky Republican Senator Rand Paul has broken early with President-elect Trump over his plans to use the U.S. military to help round up illegal immigrants across the country. The famously libertarian Paul says using American troops in a domestic role would be a huge mistake, as well as a misuse of military personnel. Paul says on Newsmax that I think it's a terrible image and that's not what we use our military for. He goes on to say we never have, and it has actually been illegal for over 100 years to bring the army into our cities. Paul is in favor of a national sweep for illegal immigrants, but says that local and state police agencies should be doing the work.
With five races still too close to call, Republicans are on track to have one of the smallest majorities in the House of Representatives in the country's history. The GOP could have a meager five-seat edge over Democrats, and that's before the possible nomination of three Republican House members to the Trump cabinet. Meanwhile, Speaker of the House Mike Johnson announced today that he was barring the first openly transgender member of Congress, Delaware Rep. Sarah McBride, from using women's bathrooms or locker rooms in the Capitol. In a statement following the policy announcement, McBride said she disagreed with the new rule but would abide by it.
President Biden helped to set in motion a massive investment in clean and renewable energies that will be hard, if not impossible, for the incoming Trump administration to stop. Even deep red states like Texas have been enthusiastic builders of solar and wind power. But having a president in charge who simply does not believe in climate change is making environmentalists more than a little nervous. Benjamin Jealous is executive director of the Sierra Club and is with us now on Countdown 2024. Benjamin, thanks for being with us. Are you more than a little nervous?
Yeah. Well, you know, I guess if there's good news is that we've been through this before. We have a playbook, if you will, from the first Trump administration. We sued him over more than 300 times. We won overwhelmingly in those cases. We put in Freedom of Information Act requests against his nominees to show their corruption. With that, we helped to drive out his failed EPA chief, Scott Pruitt. We did find some bipartisan agreement, passed the bipartisan Great American Outdoors Act, and we actually still managed to accelerate the pace of shutting down coal-fired power plants. So, as the nation's oldest and largest environmental organization, founded more than 130 years ago, the only one in every state and every corner of every state, we are very aware that our agenda is more popular than President Trump himself.
You know, he has talked about wanting clean air and clean water on one hand, then promising the quote, right? Drill, baby, drill, more oil and gas drilling. You have called that notion clueless. I mean, you can't have both, right?
No, you really can't. I mean, here's the thing, right? When you're when you're burning coal, for example, you're also releasing mercury. And that mercury is pernicious, and there's a lot of surface mercury in lakes, for instance, that comes from that. When you're talking about, the CEO of Duke Energy said recently that Trump's policies make her want to burn more coal. Well, there's an actual algorithm for each coal-fired power plant that shows how many people they kill each year and how much increasing production would kill. You know, how many more people would be killed each year? People being killed by asthma, COPD, heart attacks, you know, various cardiac and respiratory issues. And so, you know, it's a very serious thing. And that's even before you get to climate change and increasing the power of these superstorms. And so it's phenomenally irresponsible. And whether you're burning LNG or you're burning other types of gas or you're burning, you know, coal, whatever fossil fuel you're burning, you are making the air and the water more polluted.
We're talking with Benjamin Jealous, executive director of the Sierra Club. I mean, isn't the fact of the matter, Benjamin, that no matter who happens to be in the White House, no matter who's president, it takes forever in this country because of litigation. You mentioned the litigation that the Sierra Club itself has initiated. Because of litigation and environmental impact studies and you name it, it takes forever to get any significant change anyway, doesn't it?
Well, you know, there are checks and balances, and they're important. Donald Trump seems to want to get away, from that and destroy the way that the federal government's operated, change the way the courts operate. That should be worrisome to any of us. You know, the reality is, yes, we do, the American people, we the people have many levers to defend ourselves and our interests against even a president as aggressive as Donald Trump. And, you know, thank God, you know, that's what our founding fathers, that's what the people who built this country, like, you know, Dr. King, have all worked for, is a democracy that works. It'll be put to the test by Donald Trump, but, you know, ultimately, we're still a democracy and we should be able to fight back against many of his worst proposals.
What do you think of his pick, Trump's pick to lead the EPA, Lee Zeldin?
Oh, he's totally unqualified. And he's there, similar to the Interior pick. They're there to facilitate the desires of Trump's masters. I mean, Trump literally had a meeting with a bunch of fossil fuel execs and said if they gave him $1 billion for his campaign and his PACs and all the things, you know, he would do whatever they wanted. And that's what you're seeing. The fossil fuel industry is approximately 40% of the dollars going into the Republican PACs. And what you're looking at is a phenomenally corrupt system. And a president who does not mind being corrupted by the fossil fuel industry, and his picks for EPA and Interior both reflect that.
But Benjamin, the truth of the matter is that all the stuff that we've been talking about, all the stuff you've just been talking about, all that has been known, it's been out there, and yet tens of millions of people didn't care. They voted for Donald Trump anyway, and he will again be president of the United States. Why that disconnect? Why do you think that the very voters who probably are for clean air and clean water, why wouldn't they be, knowing all the information, still decided to vote for Trump anyway?
There's broad public agreement on the environment. It's also just a fact of American politics that people really don't change their votes over anything but the economy / jobs, healthcare, and education. And so what we saw was the working class people of our country saying, we will vote our pocketbooks. Very clear exit polling data and the like, you know, showing that people were really voting over the price of gas and the price of the price of groceries, the price of home mortgages. Unfortunately, what that, you know, those votes cast for those reasons unleash, the return of a president who is phenomenally comfortable with destroying the planet, the environment, even potentially attacking the national park system itself.
Does that concern you with that mindset, given that, like, the idea of, you know, if we don't have the clean air, the clean water, a healthy planet, all the rest of it doesn't really matter?
100%, you know, and, but, you know, what's also real is that talking about jobs, talking about health, you know, next year we will celebrate 1 million asthma attacks prevented and 100,000 heart attacks prevented and 70,000 unnecessary deaths prevented in the United States because Sierra Club has succeeded in shutting down 386 coal-fired power plants. And so the reality is that even before you get to the way it endangers the planet and therefore humanity itself, there are real clear health harms that will be done to low-income white communities, that'll be done to people of color communities across this country. And so that's what, you know, we'll be talking about first. And then, you know, you saw what happened when Vice President-elect Vance talked about green jobs as table scraps. Yeah, green jobs, 300,000 jobs have been created in the last few years by the Biden administration, the investment in the Inflation Reduction Act. These are flourishing in places like Dalton, Georgia, Syracuse, New York, and in many cases, the biggest industrial investments these communities have seen, and they're transforming people's lives. And I do think that there's really not much Donald Trump will be able to do prayerfully to really do harm to the flourishing green technology economy in this country, whether it's bringing back, you know, chip production or the production of EVs and batteries and solar panels. What's true is that Americans of all political stripes want those jobs in their cities, want those jobs in their communities, want to rebuild the American manufacturing sector. And this is what's driving the rebuilding of the American manufacturing
sector. All right. Benjamin Jealous, Executive Director of the Sierra Club. Benjamin, thanks for being with us.
So how will President-elect Trump plan to squeeze even more oil and gas out of the United States, even though we are already the world's top energy producer? We will hear the new president's energy plans next.
It's Countdown 2024
on KNX News 97.1 FM. This is Countdown 2024
on KNX News 97.1 FM.
Welcome back. Along with Charles Feldman, I'm Margaret Carrero. President-elect Donald Trump attacked the Biden administration's energy policies relentlessly on the campaign trail, suggesting that the United States was not energy independent under Biden and Harris. But the U.S., in reality, has become an energy powerhouse over the last decade and is the world's biggest producer of oil and natural gas. So how much more drilling could happen under a Trump administration?
Solar and wind energy production has also surged during the last 4 years. So is there room for expansions in both fossil fuel and renewable energies under Trump? Dan Eberhardt is CEO of oilfield services company Canary LLC and was a donor to the Trump campaign. Dan, thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
So do we really need to drill for more oil in this country? I mean, as we just said in the lead-in to you, we produce an awful lot now.
Well, we do, but, you know, an oil well is a depleting asset. So in every, you know, when you drill an oil well, it's only going to last for 3 to 6 years. So if you're going to need more oil in year 7, year 8, year 9, then we need to drill another one.
And so is that the deal to maybe, would you say, take an assessment of what we have already and see where we need to build new ones?
Well, I think it's more based on supply and demand for the market. But I think if we think the economy is going to keep growing and our energy consumption is going to be similar to what it is now, then we need to keep drilling just to run in place, is what I would say.
But is this oil in your mind that would be for domestic consumption or for export?
Generally for domestic consumption, we export very little. In fact, we're still, even with all the oil we produce, we're still importing about 20% of the oil that we consume. What we do export and where I think we can grow exports is natural gas, which is predominantly produced in Pennsylvania and Louisiana, Arkansas areas.
And is that where the fracking comes in?
Yeah. So we use fracking both oil and for natural gas. But I think natural gas is potentially an export market that we could grow considerably, you know, in the next 5 to 10 years.
So we mentioned that you're a donor to the Trump campaign. So why do you think that he would be better for the oil future in this country than, say, Harris would have been?
Well, I think that the Trump administration is more focused on energy costs for consumers and less on curbing development for development's sake. So I think that we will have a stronger overall economy and energy costs will be lower for consumers under Donald Trump's energy philosophy, rather as opposed to what the Biden-Harris administration's energy policy has been.
Does that also include renewables, wind, solar?
Yeah, so Trump is actually very, very pro-EV, hence all this Elon Musk bromance drama. But the Trump administration is really for all of the above and continuing to grow. You know, the Trump philosophy is less about pro-fossil fuel, anti-renewables. It's more about freedom of choice, free market. So I would say that the Trump administration is more like we as a country switched from the BlackBerry to the iPhone because the iPhone is better. The Trump philosophy would be we switch to renewables because they're better, not because of government intervention.
Are you concerned, I'm sure you are, about environmental damage?
Sure. I think, you know, look, as someone that's in the oil and gas industry, we've always got to be cognizant of leaving the environment the same or better than when we found it. And I think the industry is very focused on that, and we use world-class methods. In fact, I would say if you're going to drill somewhere, you really want us drilling in the U.S. We are far more energy conscious or environmentally conscious than the drilling that happens in Africa and in the Middle East and in Asia, I would say.
But would it be better for the environment in the long run to decrease dramatically the dependence, especially in this country, on things like oil, so that the environment can at least go a little bit more down the road to recovery, which right now it's not doing?
Well, I disagree a little bit with the premise, but potentially yes. But remember, when you plug
which part did you disagree with? Go ahead.
That the environment or that the oil and gas production is negative for the environment overall. I think when you plug an electric vehicle into the power grid, the power plants are either powered by natural gas, coal, or nuclear. And so to have more electric cars, we need one of the three of those. And I think the obvious answer is natural gas, which is part of the oil and gas industry.
All right. We are speaking with Dan Eberhardt, CEO of oil field services company Canary LLC. We're going to continue our conversation. How much more oil and gas can the Trump administration pull from underneath the feet of Americans next?
This is Countdown 2024
on KNX News 97.1 FM.
And welcome back to the Wednesday edition of Countdown 2024. Along with Margaret Carrero, I'm Charles Feldman.
Oil and gas executive Dan Eberhardt remains with us on Countdown 2024 as we preview the Trump administration's energy policy.
I'm interested, Dan, do you get tired of being in an industry that gets sort of treated like a yo-yo? I mean, you've got one president. Well, you know what I mean? You know, so one president comes in, say Trump, the last time around, he wants to do one thing with your industry. Then another president of a different party comes in this case, Biden, he wants to do something totally different. Now Trump comes back, but it could have been another Republican wanting to do the exact opposite or a lot different anyway. I mean, isn't that frustrating?
I would definitely agree with that. You know, I'll tell you what business people want is they want consistency and regulatory certainty, right? So this idea that Biden throws a wet blanket, but then Trump is, you know, wants to give us a hug is stop and go, stop and go.
Do you foresee, is it possible for more nuclear to be brought online?
Well, I mean, it's technically possible, but you end up with this NIMBY, not in my backyard situation. Look, we don't build in the U.S. The environmental restrictions have basically boxed us out of building refineries and boxed us out of building nuclear power plants. We just don't build them anymore.
If you were able to whisper into Trump's ear, what would you tell him about energy policy now?
I would tell him, look, let's pull out of the Paris Climate Accords. Let's set standards for ourselves that we follow. And let's focus on, you know, an energy transition, with the bulk of the focus on natural gas. And let's drill, baby, drill, you know, as long as we can do so responsibly. You know, I'm a big believer that lower energy costs is good for the economy. It's good for the American consumer, and it will promote economic growth. And I think that should be our focus. And then we should layer on top of that, you know, environmental standards that make sense. So we're all responsible stewards of the environment. We all want clean air. We all want clean water, and we've got to balance that with the needs for the economy.
Honestly, are you kind of regretting that he ever said drill, baby, drill? Because it's catchy, but it's, you know, I don't know.
Well, I think you've got to start with somewhere, and that seems to be his mantra. But I really think, like with anything any politician does, the truth is more complex and more gray.
Sure. All right. Oil and gas executive Dan Eberhardt, thank you so much for your time here.
Coming up on tomorrow's edition of Countdown 2024, perhaps even more shocking for Democrats than Trump's popular vote win in the election was the significant number of usually reliable Democratic voters in blue metropolitan areas that went for Trump. So we will hear from the mayor of San Jose on what Democrats in blue states and cities have to do to win back the trust of their constituents. If you missed this show, catch up on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify. Just search for Countdown 24, follow the show, and then magically there will be.
It would be 2024.
Yes.
Yes.